Today is the fourth day of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. It's great to be around the global campfire with you today. And this 20th year, a year of awe for me, and celebration, and deep gratitude. I'm grateful to be with you today. Humbled that we can do this. Humbled that this exists, and that we are in community together as we take every day, every step forward that every day brings to challenge our lives and pull us to transformation. So it's wonderful to be here with you today. Honor to be here. Kind of keeping cozy and warm around the global campfire. So we are continuing in the Old Testament, our journey through 2 Samuel and the life of King David. And we have just begun brand new territory in the New Testament as we've completed the Gospels and are just moving into the book of Acts. And so let's take the next step forward. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 through 23, verse 23. David spoke the words of this song to the Lord on the day the Lord rescued him from the grasp of all his enemies and from the grasp of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock, where I seek refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. You save me from violence. I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I was saved from my enemies. For the waves of death engulfed me. The torrents of destruction terrified me. The ropes of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. I called to the Lord in my distress. I called to my God. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry for help reached his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked. The foundations of the heavens trembled. They shook because he burned with anger. Smoke rose from his nostrils, and consuming fire came from his mouth. Coals were set ablaze by it. He bent the heavens and came down, total darkness beneath his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew, soaring on the wings of the wind. He made darkness a canopy around him, a gathering of water and thick clouds. From the radiance of his presence, blazing coals were ignited. The Lord thundered from heaven. The Most High made his voice heard. He shot arrows and scattered them. He hurled lightning bolts and routed them. The depths of the sea became visible. The foundations of the world were exposed at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He pulled me out of deep water. He rescued me from my powerful enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out to a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. He repaid me according to the cleanness of my hands. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not turned from my God to wickedness. Indeed, I let all his ordinances guide me and have not disregarded his statutes. I was blameless before him and kept myself from iniquity. So the Lord repaid me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. With the faithful, you prove yourself faithful. With the blameless, you prove yourself blameless. With the pure, you prove yourself pure. But with the crooked, you prove yourself shrewd. You rescue an oppressed people, but your eyes are set against the proud. You humble them. Lord, you are my lamp. The Lord illuminates my darkness. With you, I can attack a barricade, and with my God, I can leap over a wall. God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is pure. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is a rock? Only our God. God is my strong refuge. He makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me securely on the heights. He trains my hands for war. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation. Your help exalts me. You make a spacious place beneath me for my steps, and my ankles do not give way. I pursue my enemies and destroy them. I do not turn back until they are wiped out. I wipe them out and crush them, and they do not rise. They fall beneath my feet. You have clothed me with strength for battle. You subdue my adversaries beneath me. You have made my enemies retreat before me. I annihilate those who hate me. They look, but there is no one to save them. They look to the Lord, but he does not answer them. I pulverize them like dust of the earth. I crush them and trample them like mud in the streets. You have freed me from the feuds among my people. You have preserved me as head of nations. A people I had not known serve me. Foreigners submit to me, cringing. As soon as they hear, they obey me. Foreigners lose heart and come trembling from their fortifications. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. God, the rock of my salvation, is exalted. God, he grants me vengeance and casts down peoples under me. He frees me from my enemies. You exalt me above my adversaries. You rescue me from violent men. Therefore, I will give thanks to you among the nations, Lord. I will sing praises about your name. He is a tower of salvation for his king. He shows loyalty to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. These are the last words of David. The declaration of David, son of Jesse. The declaration of the man raised on high, the one anointed by the God of Jacob. This is the most delightful of Israel's songs. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, "The one who rules the people with justice, who rules in the fear of God, is like the morning light when the sun rises on a cloudless morning, the glisten of rain on sprouting grass." Is it not true my house is with God? For he has established a permanent covenant with me, ordered and secured in every detail. Will he not bring about my whole salvation and my every desire? But all the wicked are like thorns raked aside. They can never be picked up by hand. The man who touches them must be armed with iron and the shaft of a spear. They will be completely burned up on the spot. These are the names of David's warriors: Josheb Bashubet, the Tachamonite, was chief of the officers. He wielded his spear against 800 men that he killed at one time. After him, Eleazar, son of Dodo, son of an Ahoite, was among the three warriors with David when they defied the Philistines. The men of Israel retreated in the place they had gathered for battle, but Eleazar stood his ground and attacked the Philistines until his hand was tired and stuck to his sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. Then the troops came back to him, but only to plunder the dead. After him was Shammah, son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines had assembled in formation where there was a field full of lentils. The troops fled from the Philistines, but Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field, defended it, and struck down the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Three of the 30 leading warriors went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam, while a company of Philistines was camping in Rephaim Valley. At that time, David was in the stronghold, and a Philistine garrison was at Bethlehem. David was extremely thirsty and said, "If someone would bring me water to drink from the well at the city gate of Bethlehem." So three of the warriors broke through the Philistine camp and drew water from the well at the gate of Bethlehem. They brought it back to David, but he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out to the Lord. David said, "Lord, I would never do such a thing. Is this not the blood of men who risked their lives?" So he refused to drink it. Such were the exploits of the three warriors. Abishai, Joab's brother and son of Zeruiah, was leader of the three. He wielded his spear against 300 men and killed them, gaining a reputation among the three. Was he not more honored than the three? He became their commander, even though he did not become one of the three. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was the son of a brave man from Kabzeel, a man of many exploits. Benaiah killed two sons of Ariel of Moab, and he went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. He also killed an Egyptian, an impressive man. Even though the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, Benaiah went down to him with a staff, snatched the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and then killed him with his own spear. These were the exploits of Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, who had a reputation among the three warriors. He was the most honored of the 30, but he did not become one of the three. David put him in charge of his bodyguard. Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each one of them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were Jews staying in Jerusalem, devout people from every nation under heaven. When this sound occurred, a crowd came together and was confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us can hear them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those who live in Mesopotamia, in Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the magnificent acts of God in our own tongues. They were all astounded and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But some sneered and said, "They're drunk on new wine." Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and proclaimed to them, "Fellow Jews and all you residents of Jerusalem, let this be known to you and pay attention to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only 9 in the morning. On the contrary, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it will be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all people. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. I will even pour out my spirit on my servants in those days, both men and women, and they will prophesy. I will display wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Fellow Israelites, listen to these words. This Jesus of Nazareth was a man attested to you by God with miracles, wonders, and signs that God did among you through him, just as you yourselves know. Though he was delivered up according to God's determined plan and foreknowledge, you used lawless people to nail him to a cross and kill him. God raised him up, ending the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by death. For David says of him, 'I saw the Lord ever before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. Moreover, my flesh will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me in Hades, or allow your Holy One to see decay. You have revealed the paths of life to me. You will fill me with gladness in your presence.' Brothers and sisters, I can confidently speak to you about the patriarch David. He is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn an oath to him to seat one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke concerning the resurrection of the Messiah. He was not abandoned in Hades, and his flesh did not experience decay. God has raised this Jesus. We are all witnesses of this. Therefore, since he has been exalted to the right hand of God and has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, he has poured out what you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord declared to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know with certainty that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he testified and strongly urged them, saying, "Be saved from this corrupt generation." So those who accepted his message were baptized. That day, about 3,000 people were added to them. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Psalm 122, a prayer for Jerusalem, a song of ascents of David. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let's go to the house of the Lord." Our feet were standing within your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city should be, solidly united, where the tribes, the Lord's tribes, go up to give thanks to the name of the Lord. This is an ordinance for Israel. There, thrones for judgment are placed, thrones of the house of David. Pray for the well-being of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls, security within your fortresses. Because of my brothers and friends, I will say, "May peace be in you." Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will pursue your prosperity. Proverbs 16:19-20. Better to be lowly of spirit with the humble than to divide plunder with the proud. The one who understands a matter finds success, and the one who trusts in the Lord will be happy. Okay, so in the book of Acts today, very monumental, like a flashpoint that reverberates until this day. And so we witness what is known as Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and also the birth of the church. So Jesus' followers are waiting, as they were told, praying. They're in Jerusalem, as they were told. And according to church tradition, the place that they are is the same upper room where Jesus had enjoyed his Last Supper. This is kind of where they were congregating. And the promised Holy Spirit did fall upon them. Mighty sounds of wind and what appeared to be cloven or tongues of fire. Those present were given the ability to speak in other languages. And so pilgrims that were in Jerusalem, since this was like a place of pilgrimage, so people from all over the world began to hear of God's kindness spoken to them in their native tongue. And that caused quite a bit of a stir. And Pentecost gave the very first clue now. The gospel was to spread beyond just the Hebrews that were congregating together inside the Roman province of Syria at this point, and around the city of Jerusalem, which is the place of pilgrimage, that this was to spread throughout the world to every nation and obviously every tongue, since that's what people were hearing, a testimony of God's good grace to them in their own tongue. What this would mean practically, though, it's going to become a problem as we go forward in this story. It begins to cause a controversy among the early church, and they had to make some really hard decisions that cause tremendous consequence. And we are all recipients of those decisions. So there's confusion in the crowd as all these different tongues are being spoken, speaking in languages that people actually understand, telling of God's goodness to them. And that causes a lot of confusion, but a lot of awe. It also caused others to scoff and accuse Jesus' followers of being drunk at 9 a.m. And so we see, like, this is like opposition to Jesus. The message of Jesus is baked in and has always been there and is still there today. But full of the Holy Spirit, Peter gives the very first ever recorded, like, mass sermon, an introduction to the gospel of Jesus. And as we're told, 3,000 people believed and were baptized as a result of that. And that has been considered among biblical scholars, like, baptizing 3,000 people is no small, like, that's a lot of people. I've had the privilege of baptizing, like, people before, even like 100 at a time, but that's like a lot. 3,000 is a lot. So where could this even happen? Because they're in Jerusalem, they're not at the Jordan River. Where could this happen? Ritual cleansing baths were part and are part of Hebrew culture. So, like, those are called mikveh. And so that's not uncommon that people would cleanse themselves or even have a baptismal kind of place. But 3,000 people, the only place where those kind of ritual cleansing baths could be found was in the temple complex. And the ruins of those large mikveh are still visible today, the ruins of them below the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And so many scholars believe, like, that's where they went to be ritually cleansed, but in the process they were being baptized in the name of Jesus and into the family of God. And so what we just witnessed in the book of Acts is the flashpoint that began what we now know as it's Christianity. People were not known as Christians. It wasn't even a term that had been coined yet. So they weren't baptized into Christianity as a religion. They were baptized in the name of Jesus to follow the Jewish Messiah, their Savior. And that is part of what becomes a controversy. The term Christian is more of a Gentile term, and it would first be used in Antioch once the good news began to spread out all over the known world of that time. But what we just read in Acts is the origin. It's the origin story of the church. And that same Holy Spirit, that Spirit of truth, that is who we reach for every single day that we gather around the global campfire. The same Spirit of God is available and leads and guides us. If we have eyes to see and ears to hear and a will to obey, and we're on the same mission to spread the light and the good news through the stories of our lives, a story that we are telling by our thoughts and words and choices and actions, And so we've seen our spiritual heritage today. And, you know, we're a couple of millennia from that time into the future. But we're part of that same story, the beginning of what is known as the church era. And we share the same mission. And we are invited into relationship and the power of the same Holy Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, come. Lead us into all truth. Make us aware of your presence among us and within us. May we stop looking for what we already have. We keep living in a way that's like we just need to dominate everything. We just need to claim this world, our country, our region for Christ. And certainly, that doesn't really happen with dominant force. That happens through changed hearts and lives. And those stories are told with integrity and loyalty and faithfulness to you in our own lives, a visible transformation in who we are. So we open ourselves and invite you to continue to change us. And you constantly invite us to change, which is repentance. And we also hear in the Psalms today, and so we mimic, we join in, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're told, may all who love this city prosper. There may be peace within your walls, prosperity in your palaces. May you have peace. And may your kingdom come, Father, and on earth as it is in heaven. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app are home base. And it's where you find out what's going on around here, like I say all the time. It's the 20th year celebration, like I say all the time, but I only get to say it this year, right? It's the 20th year, and we are celebrating that. In every way that the Bible kind of tells us to remember and to kind of mark what has happened. And so there are a number of different ways that we're trying to do that. This Friday, even Jill and I are going to come back on and talk some more and celebrate some more. But right now, we're also, we've made these 20th anniversary hats that are like ball caps with leather patches, and man, they're cool. I've been saying that for a couple of days. They're cool and they're about gone, so we're trying to figure that out. But I wanted to let you know again, the 20th anniversary edition of the caps are in the Daily Audio Bible shop. Different than any we've ever had before, and loving them very much. When they are gone, they are gone. This is just part of the celebration, and we certainly won't be keeping 20th anniversary things into other years. This is our only 20th year, and so it's a piece of the community, a piece of the global campfire, a piece of the history here that has been going on 7 days a week for these 20 years. And so you can find those in the Daily Audio Bible shop, whether you're using the app or whether you go to the web. And I hope that you will. Hope that you'll participate in celebrating together as a community our 20th year. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if being around the global campfire for 1 week or the last 20 years every day has been something life-giving and meaningful to you, and thank you deeply, humbly, honestly for your partnership, for keeping the campfire working, growing, burning, we would not be here. We would not, if we were not in this together. And so, if being together is life-giving to you, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, DAB family. This is Prodigal Princess from Massachusetts. It's been a long time since I've called in. And I am calling in to request prayer. Please pray for me. I'm not going to get into it right now because I don't have a lot of time. And primarily, I'd like to call in to pray for Sparky and to let him know. Let me just talk to you directly. Sparky, I've been listening to you over the DAB for years, and your story is so inspiring, and I can relate on so many levels. I'm also a person in recovery. I was married to someone who was in recovery, and he was an electrician, and we screwed up, and we backslid, and he ended up serving another 3 years in prison, and when he got out, he wrapped up parole, and within a month, he overdosed and passed away. You've overcome so much in your life, Sparky, and you're such an inspiration to myself and to so many others, and I'm so sorry that you're going through this loss, and I'm just praying for you and your family. I believe it's Beloved, your wife Beloved. I'm just praying for comfort for you and security and strength, and that your recovery would be secure, and just thank you for faithfully listening and calling in. God bless.
Good morning, DAB family. It's Peaceful in Pennsylvania, and I was listening to the community prayer. Asia, I have to say, you are such a compassionate woman of God. Keep that going. Let's pray for Lucky. Asia talked about Lucky. He has a bed sore. He's in a nursing home that isn't giving him like the good nutrition and good care that they could have. I get that. Anyway, Lucky, he's an 88-year-old man, wants healing, wants to go back to his assisted living, and needs this bed sore to be healed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you, God, for Lucky, Lord. Lord, help him to know that it is your will for him to be healed here on earth. Lord, I know that he's 88, but God, it doesn't mean that it can't happen because of you. Because, Lord, it says, you know, with man this might be impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. Lord, this is a faithful servant. Touch your servant, Lucky. Keep him well. Lord, give him grace and favor in this nursing home and get him out of it and back to his assisted living place. Heal that bed sore. Heal all the other things that are going on. He's had strokes and other things. Oh, Lord. And Lord, bless Asia for her care and compassion. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Hello, my wonderful DAB family. This is Rosie, a.k.a. Great to Be Free in Jesus. And I'm calling back because I found out that my sister has pulmonary fibrosis. And I was calling to request prayer for her. Her name is Deborah. And as I told you before, she helped raise me when she was only 10 years old herself. And it was a lot of responsibility to put on a 10-year-old after our mother died. And I just want prayers for her because she's always been a part of my life, and I've always looked up to her. I thought I had all the questions, and she had all the answers. I just appreciate your prayers. Also want to tell you thank you for praying for my dog, Missy, and my brother's cat, Precious. Missy still has the mass on her back, and my brother's cat, Precious, passed away. But I appreciate all your prayers for everything that I call in prayers for. And I'm praying for you guys as I hear your prayer request. And I pray for those of you who don't call in too. And I love you, my wonderful DAB family. God bless you. Bye.
Hi, DAB family. This is Senny calling from the UK. First time caller. But I've been a listener for about 3 years now. I just wanted to thank the Harden family from the bottom of my heart. I mean, in the beginning, I only listened to Brian's Daily Audio Bible, but this year I've been listening to the Chronological with Jill and the kids with Ezekiel, and it's been such a blessing to my heart. Yeah, I'm calling in response to the community prayer from May the 10th, which Billy from Witconco shared. I mean, what Billy from Witconco really shared struck a chord with me. I also have a close family member who was a victim of abuse, and it was one of the hardest things to carry silently. Even in church, I struggled to open up because I didn't feel safe to be vulnerable. But hearing others speak out on this platform reminded me that God brings healing when truth comes into the light. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the community and for the courage you are stirring in our hearts. Thank you for Billy, for KSD, and for Diane Olive Brown, and for all those who are choosing to speak into the pain. I lift up every silent heart holding trauma, confusion, or fear. Lord, bring healing where wounds have lingered, and let your love restore what was broken. Help us to be a community where it is safe to be honest and to heal together. In Jesus' name. Amen. Love you all. Bye for now.